All right, so we are continuing on in our series of experiencing God today. Today is message number 4, as we figure out what it means as a people to make this shift from asking God to bless us and for Him to come into our world and fulfill our plans and help Him, ask Him to pursue our dreams, instead to live a life that is oriented and rotating around Him, His activities, and His work. And so where we're at in the series, let me just flip this thing on super fast and let you know where we are in the series. We've looked at God as a work. God is always at work. Our Father is always at work. This is one of the significant teachings of Jesus. And the next point is to know that we have been invited into a love relationship with God that is both real and personal. Point, the third one was that we are invited to participate with God in His work. And today we're going to start on a bit of a mini-series as we look at this fourth point, which is God speaks. And so we're going to take the month of September, and actually one Sunday into October as well, to look at the different ways that God speaks and has spoken to His people. It's an interesting journey that we've been on so far, and I trust and pray that as we take some time to look at how God speaks to us, that we will be open to what Scripture has to say to us, be open to what the Spirit might want to say to us, and actually recognize that we're in a space of relationship with God. So, Father, I'm just praying that as we take this 4 or 5 weeks to look at how You speak to us, I pray that our hearts would be quiet, that our minds would be still, that our ears would be unstopped, and that we would be prepared to be engaged by a God who is relational. So use these next few moments, we pray, to encourage us in this journey. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it shouldn't be a surprise to you that we're going to actually take a few moments to talk through what it means that God speaks. A lot of people have a lot of different views on this, and there's actually been a lot of abuse of this by people in the past, church leaders, and people who have claimed to speak on behalf of God and tried to co-opt groups of people to do different things in the name of God. And we're not just talking Christian here. We're talking about multiple religious faiths who have claimed the leader as someone who claimed to speak on behalf of God and tried to get people to fulfill some cause, some righteous or some holy cause in their own view. So the fact that God speaks shouldn't be new to us either as believers, because if we just take the scriptural example, God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. He spoke to Abraham to call him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He spoke to Moses, I think, through that. He spoke to the judges. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke to the kings. In fact, if you just take the Old Testament alone in terms of the ways that God spoke to His people, we've got angels, we've got visions, we've got dreams, we've got, and here's my personal favorite, the Urim and Thummim. Look that up. Symbolic actions through gentle whisper, through miraculous signs, through prophets, through a burning bush. And this is before we even get to Christ. God is a God who has been communicating with His people throughout their history. And then we move to the New Testament. We've got now God primarily communicating through Christ and in Christ to the disciples. To the early church, He talked and spoke with Paul, with Peter, with John. In the New Testament, modes of speaking were, there were miracles. God spoke through prayer. God spoke to people through preaching. God spoke to people through visions and dreams. God spoke to people through the giving of collective wisdom. God spoke to people by His Spirit. God spoke to people through revelation. In actual fact, this concept of God being a God who communicates is so significant that in the beginning of the Gospel of John and the prologue to the Gospel of John, we see in the beginning was the, let's say that again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Greek word is logos there. We've translated that to Word, capital W. So the fact that John would designate the coming of the second person of the Trinity, God incarnate in the flesh with the word, Word, is significant, don't you think? That God represents him to himself, to us, as one who communicates. He has never stopped communicating. At every point through the scripture, we see God communicating something to someone. And so the overview of where we're going to go in this next month is, as well as understanding that God spoke through lots of ways, through the life of Jesus and through his story, through creation. I think God speaks through creation, don't you? Man, sometimes I hear him most clearly in the middle of creation. I think God speaks to us through crisis, right? I think God speaks to us through conscience. I mean, there is numbers of ways that he does, but the ways that we're going to focus on in the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about God speaking to us through his spirit, through scripture, through prayer, through the church, through circumstances, and through the poor and the marginalized. Those will be the six things, that we look at. So in preparing this talk, I was getting really, really excited. You know, sometimes we get excited about all kinds of things, us who have been blessed to prepare a message or bring a message. And I was literally going to unpack for you what, in my mind, was going to be like one of the best possible ways for us to understand about some of the ways that God speaks to us. And then it hit me. The problem has never been that God doesn't know how to speak. The problem is we don't know how to listen. So I completely went on that sermon prep and said, God has always been a speaking God. Just flip open a page in the book and you'll say, and God said, or God revealed, or God showed, or God led. God knows how to speak. He's never not spoken. The only time I can think of in the biblical testimony where we have a time of God not speaking is between the testaments, between Malachi and Christ. And I think even in that pause and in that silence, I think sometimes God speaks. The problem is not with God speaking. The problem is we're just not listening. It didn't take me long to start racking up a lot of passages around this one. Psalm 81, 10 through 13. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me. Isaiah 28, 8 through 12, 11 through 12. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. Isaiah 43, verses 5 through 8. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Jeremiah 19:15. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on this city and all the villages around it every disaster that I pronounced against them because they were stiff-necked and they would not listen to my words. Ezekiel 20:8. But they rebelled against me, and they would not listen to me. They did not get rid of the vile images that they had set before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Zechariah 1:4. Do not be like your ancestors to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me. declares the Lord. And it doesn't get any better in the New Testament either when Jesus in Matthew 23, verse 37, he speaks and he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would have none of it." In Matthew 13, verses 13 through 16, Jesus says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has been calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And after every letter to the churches in Revelation, God has a specific message through his angel to the churches. And at the end of the message to each letter, it says, "To him who has ears, let him hear." John 8, 47, "The one who is from God listens to God's words. And this is why you don't listen, because you're not from God." So I'm going to make a statement, and it's going to sound very bold, but I believe it. If we are not hearing the voice of God, you and I, if we are not hearing the voice of God, then we're in trouble at the very heart of our relationship with Him. If we are not hearing the voice of God, then we're in trouble at the very heart of our relationship with Him. I think part of the problem is that we've very often treated Christianity as a set of beliefs rather than a relationship to enter into. So this morning I was, as you would know, we've got in our house right now, we're blessed with a toddler and a baby in our house right now. And we, Laura and I, Lolly and Poppy, we love it. Okay, we love having our two little grandies in the house. So it should be of no surprise to you that as I'm sitting here getting my head around my sermon this morning, I see this little thing of cream on the little coffee table in front of me. And it is called, it's a dermatological extra relief cream. I don't need to say any more than that, do I? For those hard to get at places where we get chafing, and especially when you're a toddler or a baby, we're going to have a lot of this stuff around. Okay, but I'm thinking like these, like God thoughts, all right? And so what I actually read, I don't read extra relief cream. What I read is extra belief cream. And I just thought, oh, how cool would that be? How cool would it be to have extra belief cream, all right? I only have one hand, but it's just like, if you're in a crisis, you need a little extra belief, just squeeze this sucker, rub it on, do whatever you need to do it, or you need to know the will of God in a specific situation, you need some extra belief, you just squeeze it, apply it on your hands liberally, don't do it without a doctor's advice, but extra belief cream. Wouldn't it be great if we just had some of this we could just squeeze out into those crises and those places of our lives and just rub it on as needed? Wouldn't it be great? Some of us parents dealing with our kids, extra belief cream. Some of you wives dealing with your husbands, extra belief cream. Some of you who are dealing with unemployment or financial situations, where's my wallet? You know, extra belief cream. Some of us who are dealing with illnesses, extra belief cream. If only it was that simple. If only you could bottle it and sell it. Man, I'd be rich. So rich. Let's stop thinking about that. All right. The problem with that is this. The way we translate that, we actually know that we don't have a little jar of extra belief. But we kind of act like we do. And once we hit a spot, hit a problem, hit a crisis, hit a health issue, hit some unemployment, our typical response is just to believe harder. Go to church harder. Pray a little harder. Give a little extra. And it's our form of extra belief cream. And what it betrays is the fact that we think that successfully navigating the crises and the difficulties of our lives somehow will be made easier if we just believe a little harder. Believe a little more purely. Get our doctrine just a little bit more straight. Whereas if we understood that since the beginning of time that we're in a relationship with the God who speaks, He's never not known how to speak. He's always seeking to communicate to His children. That the problem is not a lack of belief. And the problem is not a problem with God's capacity to speak. The problem is we don't know how to listen. We're really bad at it. We jump through this hoop, do this thing, pray this prayer, read that book, go to that conference, support that cause. Don't doubt. Don't be afraid. Me, 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 me. Do you underhear that? All of that is based on me. Whereas the faithful testimony of Scripture is that if we're in this relationship, if Christ is our true life and He's a God who communicates, then the answers that we need are already ours in Christ. And our job is simply to posture ourselves in a way that we can listen. Now, okay, this invites another problem. I'm full of good news this morning, sorry. But here's another problem. We have to decide up front that whatever He tells us is true and that we will do. It doesn't work like this. God, I trust You to speak to me. You're God who speaks. I'm waiting on You to speak to me. I've cleared the clutter, I've stopped the mental chatter, I've created the space, I've put my holy candle out, I'm ready to receive something. Oh no, I'm not going to do that. No, sorry, that's just a bad idea. Lord, is there something else? Another direction, you know what I'm saying? What we do is we don't embrace the posture of not only listening but obedience. We actually have this conditional kind of rational relationship with God where we say, well, we'll listen, but then I get to argue or I get to rationalize or I get to justify. And here's the other thing. Okay, the problems just keep compounding. Because sometimes I think if I was God and I was listening to somebody like me praying, saying, Lord, I just need You to direct me. I just need You to lead me. I just need You to help me. And if I'm God, I'm probably leaning out of heaven going, well, I spoke to You last time and You didn't listen then, so why should I speak to You now? Seriously, some of us are dealing with unfinished business when it comes to this. And so before we move to opening ourselves up to the voice of God or the communication of God in our lives, some of us have got unfinished business where God has spoken and you've known it was Him and you've known what He was asking and you've just refused to do it. This is true of me too. So this listening thing, it's not just hearing. And it's not just comprehending. It's actually a submission as well. Do you understand? It's a heart issue as well. So, we can put away the extra belief cream and tell you that it's not necessary. God already knows the belief that you have. You can't just drum up a little bit extra. It doesn't work that way. You are who you are. You believe to the capacity you believe. You trust to the degree that you trust. You simply are yourself. And when you come before God, He already knows all of that. So really then for us it becomes about, Lord, I just think I need to get better at listening and obeying. I sometimes wonder if our responses to the Word of God is best described by the parables of the four soils. You know, there's one soil is hard, another soil is shallow, and the sun comes. Another one is tangled, twisted with weeds. And then the fourth one is the good soil. But that's not where I want to go today, because I think for a lot of us, I think many of us are more like Samuel, actually. You know the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3? To the degree that we know, like Samuel, we're serving God. I mean, Samuel found himself as the child of what? Elkanah and Hannah? An answer to Hannah's prayer, because Hannah was barren. She had this child, Samuel. And in response to that, out of gratitude, she dedicated Samuel to the temple. And so Samuel, underneath the leadership of Eli, the priest, was now learning the ropes about how to run the temple, how to do things, when to shut the doors, when to turn the candles on, when to clean stuff out, how to deal with the altars and the sacrifices and all this kind of stuff. So Samuel's just a little boy, and one night in the middle of sleeping, he hears something that says, "Samuel, Samuel." Well, he has no frame of reference for this, does he? So he runs into Eli and says, "Hey, yo, old man." He says, "What's up? You speaking to me?" Or something like that. And Eli goes, "Oh, young Padawan, young child, it's not me. Go back to bed. Back to bed. I'm trying to sleep. Can't you see? I'm trying to sleep." So Samuel's back in bed and he hears the voice again, "Samuel, Samuel." He's going, "Honey, Eli, I know that was you. What you want? What's up? What's cooking?" Eli at this point goes, wonder if this is the voice of God. So he says, "Samuel, try this." He said, "Next time you hear the voice," he said, "don't come running to me. I need my sleep." He said, "This time, why don't you say something like this? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And I sometimes wonder if instead of like the four soils analogy, if some of us just need someone to coach us a little bit in terms of what it means to listen closely to the voice of God. Fortunately, God has not left us alone. And God actually has given us a helper who will help us listen to and understand the voice of God and His presence and His leadership in our lives. And this is the one we know as the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, let me read these words to you. If you've got your texts with you, this would be a good one to turn to. John chapter 16, verses 12 Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says the following: I have much more to say to you. Isn't that interesting? I have much more to say to you. I mean, it's even as we're trying to hear the words of Jesus, sometimes we rush straight past the part where he says, I've actually got more to say. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me and he will make known to you. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is better than any Eli? Eli was a sinful, flawed human being doing the best he could in the temple. And Samuel the same, needing a coach, needing someone to come alongside him and say, hey, here's how you listen to God. Here's how you respond. The good news is, when we became believers in Jesus, we were given the Holy Spirit. Scripture says there actually is no salvation without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And part of the function of the Holy Spirit is to communicate to us both the presence and the plan of God. To speak to us from God the Father to God the Son through the Spirit to us, to make known to us what is on the heart of the Christ. So part of what you and I have been called into is a relationship with an advocate, with a partner, with a counselor, who, if we will let him, will teach us and mediate to us the very words of God himself. But so often we still treat this Christian life like it's a set of beliefs to hold on to. Now, by the way, I do have some beliefs that I hold on to very strongly. But if I forget that those beliefs are simply a means to a connection with God, then I've actually forgotten why the beliefs are held. So how can we practice the cultivate, how can we cultivate the practice of listening? I just listed 10 things that came straight to mind and I didn't put them on the screen, I'm sorry, but I think part of our journey is learning to listen, and I think we actually have some power to cultivate within ourselves the capacity to listen. I think practicing silence is a good way to learn to listen. Because unless we practice silence, we actually sometimes don't recognize the chattering that's going on in our heads. And we have to be able to deal with that chatter. It's like nonstop. Even now, right? We've got this chattering going on in our heads. So silence. Prayer, contemplative, responsive prayer is a way that we can learn to listen. And by the way, I put those two at the top, along with the practice of meditation on Scripture. And we have classically just called this in the Christian circles the quiet time. And so, Christianity 101 right here. If you are not having a quiet time, if you simply are too busy or have not prioritized taking the time out of your 24 hours to carve out the discipline of listening, how do you expect to hear? This is not a shame and blame thing. I understand that even now, after 30-something years of following Christ, carving time into the day to simply listen is still one of the hardest things that I have to do. Because there's always something more to do. There's always another email to send, another errand to run, another job to complete, another task to do, another TV show to watch, another video game to play. How are we doing on that? Because we love to celebrate the fact that God speaks, but do we actually make the time to listen? I would encourage you, if this is new to you or you've not ever heard of this before, please come grab me, come grab somebody here you trust. I think it would be a privilege for us to share with you how we struggle through this ourselves. So those are two or three right there, practicing silence, practicing prayer, meditating on Scripture, cultivating humility, surrendering your need to be in charge, practicing confession, getting into nature, move your body, practice the presence of God, even if you happen to be doing dishes. Relax. Learn more about the heart of God through the life of Jesus. And invest in your relationship with God. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice." How long since we've heard his voice? So it's an invitation, really, to recognize that God speaks to us, but to understand that sometimes God won't use a bullhorn.